Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi wahda wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa la kitaba ba'da kitabihi wa la syari'ata ba'da syari'atihi. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Wa qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam: الصلاة عماد الدين أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم has mentioned that الصلاة عماد الدين that salah is the pillar of Deen is a pillar of the Deen of Islam. The function of a pillar is that it upholds or it keeps in position a structure. That if we want to make sure that every other branch of Deen is going to be fulfilled to its maximum, to the best possible way, then that which will give ruh, current, or life to every other branch of deen is that of salah. To confirm this, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna awwala ma yuhasabu bihi al-abdu yawm al-qiyamati min amalihi salatuhu. The first thing to be reckoned for on the day of qiyamah, from our a'mal, the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us to account for is our salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِن صَلُحَتْ فَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ وَأَنْجَحَ. If that a person is successful, there's nothing to answer for, which means everything is above board, there is no discrepancies, there is no negligence, there is no lethargy in his salah, then he will be successful in every of the other questions to follow in the other aspects of deen. Why? Because salah is that ibadah that will give life to every other ibadah after that. Example, a person wants to bring his fasting and his roza up to date. One simple way, in salah. When a person is in salah, then there's no eating. There's restrictions, there's laws. So if his salah is intact, then everything else, because salah is that ibadah, that everything is included in salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the opening verses of surah Mu'minun, the 18th juz and para of the Quran, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That verily the believers are successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off with this phrase, that the believers are successful. Those that have iman, they are successful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows it by saying, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. You know who's the one who's perfected his iman? You'll see him with khushu and khudu in his salah. That's the one. He's got iman, so he's driven to khushu and khudu in his salah. He's the one when he performs his salah, there's total concentration, he knows where he's standing. Just before the bayan, then one of our friends mentioned to us, Mulana, what's the wazifa to concentrate in the bayan? You're talking about concentration in the salah, okay, you're going to give us some points, but how are we going to concentrate in the bayan? So, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Imam Zainul Abidin, rahimahullah, from the progeny of Ali radiallahu anhu, when he used to perform his wudu, when his wudu is completed, then his face used to turn pale. So the people used to ask him, O Zainul Abidin, what's happening to you? Why is your face turning pale? What's the worry? What's troubling you? So he's saying, do you know where I'm going to stand in front? Do you know in front of who I'm going to stand? Where am I going to stand? So if a person has this, that I'm going to stand in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that's where he is going. then he's already worried and concerned. Like that person, think of that person, who the doctor, he went for a angiogram, he says, hey, you know what, there's some trouble here, just take this medication, thin your blood, whatever the case be, come back after two weeks. Umrah is confirmed, everything is confirmed. The last thing you want to hear from the doctor, you need a bypass, there's no traveling. We have to cut you. The last thing you want to hear. Now imagine those 2 weeks, there's going to be a nikah also, his daughter is getting married, this is confirmed, his umrah. When he goes for that checkup 2 weeks before, or 2 weeks later, he is in parishani, he's worried, he's concerned. This must come clear now. And he's worried and concerned, Ya Allah, even if you can rig that machine only for today. You know that I don't need that bypass. Now imagine standing in front of Allah, everything is open to Allah now. What's the condition of the heart? What's in your heart? What's passing the heart? One person came to Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan Gangohi rahimahullah. And he said, Hazrat, how do I bring about concentration in salah? How do I bring? I'm trying to concentrate, but I'm failing. So how do I bring about this concentration? Remember, our talking about concentration in salah is because Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, he mentioned that quality which you want to bring into yourself, speak about it. So that's why we're speaking about it, because we ourselves require it first. That's why we need it. So we speak about it. So what we speak in is what the Akabir have mentioned, is not anything that I can say I have. It's what the ulama are mentioning, that this is how we're going to build that concentration in salah. So he came, he said, Mufti Sahib, I want to build on my concentration. How do I build? Everyone's worried and concerned. Mawlana, any tips, anything? How can I build on my concentration in salah? There's a lot of things I'm trying. So Mufti Sahib asked him one question, and he asked him that, when does the salah begin? So he says that, salah, the moment I'm standing in the saf and I say Allahu Akbar, my salah is, that's the beginning of my salah. Mufti Sahib said, no. Your salah begins from the time you make wudu. The moment you open the tap to make your wudu, your salah has begun. So you see, Mufti Sahib not understanding that. So he says, no, your wudu, al-wudu'u miftahu salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that wudu is the key to salah. And if the key, the feeding is not correct, how are you going to start your salah? So it starts there, that when you're making wudu, you have to have such dhihan and concentration. Oh my Allah, where am I standing? Where am I going? What am I doing? I'm cleansing myself to stand in front of you. So that's not the time to catch up with the person next to you, or ask something, or whatever the case be. Simple explanation to it. It doesn't mean that the person stands in the saf and he says, Allahu Akbar, now you build on your concentration, it's not going to work. Because the train of thought and the mind that Allah has created is such. Like a person who's gone on a long distance trip. You know, he's coming back from Ladysmith, Johannesburg. Or even if he's coming from Pietermaritzburg, but he was driving fast. When he reaches home, then the people around can say, well, you are driving fast. How do they know? The fan is still running. Can you hear it? The fan is running. Which means it takes time for the engine to cool down, to get back, you know. I mean, you can't even check your water. You're not going to be able to check anything, because it's going to spurt out. It's definitely going to come out. There's heat in that engine. You have to wait, really wait, for everything to subside. So similar is salah. A person just can't come, what time is salah? It's quarter past eight. Quarter past eight, directly on the musalla, and expect that concentration to come. If a person is worried about his concentration, it begins at wudu. Then a person comes early for salah. He's early now, the train of thought is already now, he's going into another mode. Okay, that was over and I'm starting a new chapter. I'm standing, I came for salah. Now you already, that concentration is beginning. What am I going to do? So that begins already, you're coming early, you're warming yourself, you're preparing yourself. It's the preparation for that salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once when sahabi came, performed wudu, and he was performing his salah. As he's performing his salah, Nabi sallam looked at him. When he finished his salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, irji' fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli. quickly go back, perform salah, you haven't performed salah. He's perplexed now. I performed salah, why repeat? He went back, repeated his salah. Nabi Sam said, irji fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. To me, I perform my salah and I must go and repeat it. Third time he repeated it, second and third time. Eventually he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, ya Rasulullah, alimni, I don't know. Ma uhsinu ghairah. I don't know anything better than this. What am I doing is what I know. So you teach me how to perform salah. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him, when you perform the salah, there is an aspect that is called ta'dilul arkan. Now this is what will bring the concentration in salah. Performing the salah with all its adab, with all its etiquette, performing the wudu correctly, coming early, conscientizing the mind and the self, that where a person is going to stand. So Nabi Sam tells him, when you perform your salah, there should be perfection of every rukn and posture. Perfection of it. When you make your takbir at tahrima, then there should be perfection in that. How you make your takbir at tahrima, how you make your ruku. When you go into ruku, then to concentrate, subhana rabbiyal azim, subhana rabbiyal azim, three times, or any odd number of times. Three times, or any odd number of times, it will mean 3, 5, 7. So if the imam is a little bit longer in salah, it doesn't mean now three times we finish, now must wait for him. And we continue, two more, and then another two more. So it's in odd numbers. And then Nabi Sam says, when you wake up from your ruku, hatta tastawiya qa'iman, stand until all limbs come to a halt and a pause, and then you will go into sajda. If coming up from ruku, you're going to dive into sajda immediately, then that has, you haven't perfected one rukun, which we call the qawma position, and that is wajib, then that salah is necessary to be repeated, because that's wajib. And even between the two sajdas, a person goes for sajda, now the jalsa we call it. He's sitting between the two jalsas. If that is not sufficient for all the limbs to come to a pause, even for a second, not amount, meaning a person is up and he's down. In the motion, he's up and he's down. Then that wajib has not been fulfilled. If you read Fadail-i Amal, then that is the complaint of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. You see, this is the complaint. This is his complaint in the kitab. Then the salah is not accepted. So all of these things have to be perfected, then the concentration will come in salah. So Nabi Sam told this person, that's not salah. You haven't performed salah. Perform your salah correctly. Generally, when we go out in the path of Allah for tabligh, person goes 3 days, 40 days, whatever, then when we speak about concentration and building concentration in salah, then what do we say? We say perform lengthy rakats of nafil salah. Lengthy rakats of nafil salah. Inshallah, that will bring that the desired concentration in our salah. Inshallah, it will bring it. Now, when we speak about Fadail Amal, we read certain of the incidents. Sahabi is performing salah. His child is next to him. A snake falls and it's very close to the child. He continues. Everyone else comes and saves the child. So they ask him, what happened? So he says, if I knew the snake fell, I would have assisted the child. I promise you, I didn't know. That was their level of concentration. O Muslim bin Yasar rahimahullah, he was proverbial with regards to his salah. People used to say, I wish I can perform salah like him. I wish I can perform. He used to be like a pillar performing his salah. Meaning there's no movement at all in his salah. Such concentration in his salah. Once a fire broke out in the house, he continued with his salah. Everyone else attended to the fire. So they asked him, but we need some assistance. Why didn't you break your salah? He says, if I knew, I would have stopped my salah. Mullah Hussein Ahmed Madani rahimullah, amongst our akabir. So he was, they were supposed to take a train. They were at the platform performing salah. So the person blew the whistle to signal that the train is about to leave. So Mulana was the imam. They were performing the salah. When they heard the whistle, everyone picked up their luggage and they ran to the train. But Mulana continued. He performed his salah. They all are rushing. Now they look in. They're waiting. They don't know what to do. Mulana continued his salah. He made his salam. He made dua also. Picked up his luggage. The sahabi is saying, quickly, the train is going to leave. So he goes into the train. When they sit down, then they ask, Hazrat, They blew the whistle to see that, to signal that it's about time for departure. So we all ran, but you continued with your salah. He says, brothers, please make me maaf. I never hear the whistle. I never hear it. If I heard it, I would have broke my salah, serious, because that is very important. We can't miss the train. But I never heard it. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we have to get such a level, but wherever we are to build on it. The month of Ramadan is very close. These are opportunities. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban. It's already Rajab. Now these are moments to build on our concentration in Salah and build ourselves to the month of Ramadan. Now we'll notice the Hufaz already now. Barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban. They say, right, count down. Start performing our quarters. Which quarters I'm reading? They're already in that groove. Now which position? So rightfully, so each one of us, we need to start preparing and building up to that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Aswa'u an-nasi sariqa." The worst thief, the worst thief, alladhi yasriqu min salatihi, the person who steals from his salah. So Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu says, "Qanu ya Rasulullah, wa kayfa yasriqu min salatihi?" How is the person going to steal from salah? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Alladhi la yutimmu ruku'aha wa la sujudaha." That person who does not perfect his execution of the performance of his ruku and his sajda, he is the worst thief. It's you have dedicated time to come to the masjid, but you're not doing it properly, and that's not accepted. That salah is not accepted. Now imagine a person, he's going, example now, South Africa is typical example. You need to apply for a passport. So obviously they're going to ask you for your old passport. You have to take that. You go, you stand in the queue. And you're there early also. By the time your turn comes, it's close to Zohar Salah time, about 12, half past 12. Come to the counter. They're asking you, what you applying for? Passport. Your documents. So you take it out. Where's your old passport? No. We don't accept this application. We want the old one. Now a person, imagine going through that entire process, but he forgot one document. That's why one person says, whenever I go to any government offices, he says, I got one file. In that file, A to Z is there. You ask for anything, I got it. Anything you ask, he's got it inside. So he went once to the bank, and there was, opening an account. So they asked him, where's your ID? He said, there's the ID. Where's the original? There's the original. Where's your proof of residence? They ask him anything, he took it out. So actually, mashallah, he got everything. He says, Molana, you wouldn't believe, I got my marriage certificate here also. He said, you don't know what they're going to ask. I'm not going to come here and stand in this queue. I got everything inside here. So we've dedicated time and took our time to come to the masjid. Let's perfect that, inshallah. Ulama explain and say that to build on the concentration in salah, now, generally what can happen, which is normal, we all are insan, thoughts do come to the mind. Thoughts, they do come to the mind. It's going to trouble, that's insan, we are insan, it's going to trouble us. So shaitan is going to come and he's going to bring waswasa. Now this, generally what will a person do? Naturally, if someone is attacking you, I defend myself. Naturally, you're going to defend yourself. So when shaitan comes with his waswasa, then we want to defend ourselves and ward away that waswasa. We want to move away that waswasa. But ulama explain and say that the easier approach in bringing that concentration in salah, rather than defending yourself and warding away the waswasa, concentrate on what you need to do. Then he won't be able to attack you. What you're supposed to do? Perform your salah. What you need to do, concentrate where I'm standing, in front of who am I standing, and what am I doing. Concentrate on those aspects, then the waswasa will not trouble us. Some ulama explain and say there are different things, as we said about the wudu, it begins there. Some ulama explain how do you build on concentration on salah. So some say that example say my tajweed is not correct. So what do I do is I learn the laws of tajweed. And when I am performing my salah, I must concentrate now. I'm reading salah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. There's a ha. So you're concentrating. Inna, there's a mad. A'tayna kal kawthar. You concentrate on the meaning, we far from that. The meaning of it, we are far from that. At least this much, the tajweed, you concentrate on it. There's a ayn. Even if I'm not getting the correct pronunciation of it, I'm not pronouncing it correctly, the ayn, the ta, the qaf, or whatever it may be, but to concentrate on what letter is there in the Quran. There's the ayn, a'tayna, ta, kal kawthar, those are kafs. Not qal kawthar. Okay, so tha, kal kawthar. So you concentrate on the tajweed, that will also bring concentration in the salah. And then some ulama explain very beautifully, and they say that a simple way of bringing that concentration in salah, another easy tip of bringing the concentration in salah, is that plan your salah before you begin your salah. If, example, I've got 2 rakats of sunnah to perform after the Isha salah, so I'll concentrate before even recite, making the takbiratul tahrima, I must think to myself, which 2 surahs am I intending to perform in these 2 rakats? Which 2 surahs? Okay, let me read Wadduha and Alam Nashrah today. So you plan yourself, I'm going to read these 2 surahs. So as you're reading, you're concentrating. First rakat, Wadduha, and you read it. Second rakat, Alam Nashrah, I'm going to read this. So you know exactly, okay, there's 3 rakats of Witr Salah I'm going to perform. What am I going to read in the first? Okay, first will be Idha Zulzila, then Al-Hakum Al-Takathur, and then Qul Huwa Allah. So you plan yourself, and you, when you're performing a salah, and you, example, you're reading Al-Hakum Al-Takathur, that's my 2nd rakat, I planned it, that's going to be my 2nd rakat. So you plan your salah, and accordingly what you planned is what you're going to perform. And that's what you're going to recite in the salah. That also will bring a level of concentration in the salah, inshaAllah ta'ala. Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah, he mentioned that what is khushu? He says khushu is tadhallulul qulub li'allamil uyub. That a person's heart be submissive to the knower of my faults. My heart be submissive to the one who knows all my faults. So it's about the heart being submissive. Mulla Ali Qari rahimullah said, what is khushu? He says khushu is not just concentration. He says khushu is the perfection of wudu. Khushu is fixating the gaze in the correct spot when I'm performing my salah, in the standing position at the place of sajda, in ruku on my feet, in sajda between the 2 thighs, just in between. So every posture, fixating the gaze in the place it's supposed to be, not playing with any garments, not playing at all. Sa'id bin Musayyib rahimahullah, one day he saw one person performing salah. In his salah, while he's performing his salah, his hand is going like this on his beard. And he is performing his salah and he was playing with his beard. So Sa'id bin Musayyib, who was a towering tabi'i, very great scholar, so he mentioned, لَوْ خَشَعَ قَلْبُ هَذَا لَخَشَعَتْ جَوَارِحُهُ. If his heart had khushu, his limbs automatically would have had that khushu. But the concentration is not in the heart. That's why we're not seeing it in the limbs. If that was in the heart, it would have definitely transcended and it would have been found in his limbs also. Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas rahimahullah, he mentioned and he said that the establishment of salah depends on khushu. The establishment of salah is dependent on khushu. And he said that the establishment of khushu and concentration, how do we build on that? It's proportionate to the level of iman of a person. How strong is your iman? That's how strong your khushu, your level of concentration will be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each one of us. We all are in need, and we make dua for the whole ummah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with concentration in our salah and grant each one of us the tawfiq to perform salah like how the sahaba radiallahu anhum used to perform and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to perform our salah. In one hadith it comes that if a person performs his salah haphazardly, he performed it for the tick in a box to say, well, mission accomplished, I did what I'm supposed to do. Perform a salah, I was supposed to and I performed it. Then That salah actually curses the person. And it says, ضَيَّعَكَ اللَّهُ كَمَا ضَيَّعْتَنِي. May Allah destroy you like how you destroyed me. May Allah not see to you, you never see to me. So therefore, let us spend some time. And remember, the more we ask, the first thing, I mean the mere fact we are sitting here for this program, or we came for this program, is because we all want to build on our salah. That's why we came, for that reason. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that intention, and inshaAllah through the barakah of sitting for the program, Allah will give us a level of concentration. But to build on that, keep the ta'alluq with the ulama. Find out, Mawlana, I'm trying this year, that's not working. Mawlana, anything else, any alim, whoever is you comfortable with, any other hints you got, anything else I can do, make dua to Allah. Making dua is a secret. Anything a person requires, make dua to Allah, and you'll see the results of it. You'll see the results when you make dua to Allah, because that is a sign of sincerity when you ask Allah and you beg Allah for anything. Just a few things to conclude the program. The correct performance of salah, just a few things. You're not going to do everything. One is the takbir at-tahrima. The takbir at-tahrima is important. Now these are all things that will give us concentration in salah. Performing the salah and the takbir at-tahrima, the takbir at-tahrima, the palms have to be facing towards qibla. And your person would raise it, obviously for the Hanafis, Shafis, it's lower down. Hanafis is up towards the ears, not necessary that you have to touch it. But the palms should be facing towards the qibla. The only time that the person's hands goes like this is when the person is the muadhin. Hafizahya? That's the only time. But if you start salah, you can't read the takbir at-tahrima, Allahu Akbar. We'll get confused whether you person is calling out the adhan. So the salah, the palms face towards qibla, and everything faces towards qibla. And the important thing is that when making the takbir at-tahrima, this is very, very important, essential. The takbir at-tahrima has to be in a voice that's audible to ourselves. That is necessary. So if a person's lip is motionless, but his heart is reading the takbir, so he comes, lips no movement. In his heart he said, Allahu Akbar. And he did this. He hasn't started his salah. His salah hasn't begun. He hasn't started it. But if he says to himself even that he heard it, Allahu Akbar, to himself, Allahu Akbar, your salah has begun. So that's very important, to say it in a voice that you heard it to yourself, then your salah has begun. We say right now you started your salah. Another important aspect is that to dress appropriately in our salah, to make sure that we do not, we're not rude to anyone behind us, or we're not, because sometimes a person is wearing a tight top, or a low pants. Now you're going into ruku, the man behind now, he doesn't know where, he's trying to lower his gaze, lowering his gaze is causing problem for him now, because your rear is being exposed, or he can see something that is not supposed to be seen. So therefore, dress appropriately is also important. In the tashahud position, in the sajda, the hands should be above. It should not be on the ground at all. Meaning when a person is in sajda, the forearm should not be flat on the ground. The forearm needs to be risen. It has to be off the ground, away from the side if possible. You're reading your own salah. If you're in the saf, then be careful of the people around us, not to injure or to hurt or to inconvenience anyone in the salah. Those are just two points that come to mind. There are other things also. And the way we had a practical demonstration. All the masajid did have. But if anyone has any questions regarding the salah at the end of the program, then no problem. You can come with your questions. We will endeavor and try to answer those questions. Inshallah, from next week, we will continue with the 99 beautiful names of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.